Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, April 11th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, the Calipari 30 for 30 makes the coach cry. Is Bam in or is he out? University president demands the death penalty for another university. The Reds win again in miraculous fashion. The Cubs raise their banner. Why everybody hates Steph Curry? Is Mel Kiper Jr. really a draft expert? We heard what Ric Flair really said to get him kicked out of a bar. And of course, we pick a big underdog in Major League Baseball last night after hitting big on the Padres as a huge underdog last night. So let's go.
You are listening live.
The John Calipari 30 for 30 documentary had its sneak preview showing at the Kentucky Theater in Lexington last night. 700 fans showed up to this event. And of course, Coach Cal was there, and he said, oh, it was tough watching that. And then apparently he cried during the documentary. Oh, come on. The reports I've read have said it was very hard-hitting. Now, I have some things I'd like to hear from him. I'd like to hear about some things in this documentary. His time at UMass when he got that team's Final Four vacated. His time at Memphis when he got that team's Final Four vacated. Losing with an undefeated team against Wisconsin. Losing a national championship game when you were up 9 points with 2 minutes to go. I want to hear him talk about that. I want to hear some backstory on those things. The fact that he worked with Larry Brown, who's been on probation everywhere he's gone. The fact that his assistant coach, Orlando Antigua, left and within 2 years, he was busted by the NCAA. I want to hear about this stuff. I hope it's not a fluff documentary, just saying everything is unicorns and leprechauns and pots of gold at the end of the rainbow. Allegedly it's not, but then again, I was reading these reports from people in Lexington who are obviously biased. And I think Calipari has quite a bit of say-so and creative control on what went out in this documentary. Hence the reason it's coming out in the middle of April during college basketball recruiting season and not when ESPN probably would have made more money off of this by putting it on in March during the NCAA tournament. Think about that for a minute. But not to be all negative and all hate, hate, hate. I actually look forward to seeing it. I like these 30 for 30 documentaries. And there's not a whole lot of people that don't like these. But I'm looking forward to see how honest and how hard-hitting this documentary really is. Hoo-yah! In other Coach Cal news, the pop star Drake now has a pair of Air Jordans that are a tribute to Coach Cal. That is just wrong on so many levels that I can't even begin to explain. But we just throw these things out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Time.
Hey, remember that North Carolina game back in the tournament a few weeks ago? John Higgins, the referee? Well, apparently, lawsuits are beginning to be filed against people who threatened John Higgins on social media. And the people who made these threats are now about to face felony charges. Wow. How are you going to feel if you go to jail or if you've got to cough up a certain amount of money just because you insulted a referee on Facebook? How's that going to make you feel? Just saying.
Words of wisdom. Drop that zero and give it to hero.
4 UK players went pro last week. 3 of them hired agents. The one that didn't was Bam Adebayo, and he is either in or out of the first round, depending on who you ask. ESPN's Chad Ford has him in the first round. A website called Draft Express does not have him in the first round. They have him just outside the first round. Here's what I know. Statistically for the season, Bam Adebayo was actually a better player than Malik Monk. He's a better shooter, obviously a better rebounder. Everybody was a better rebounder than Malik Monk. And his player efficiency rating was better than Malik Monk. But if you trust the old eye test, I saw those last 2 games in the NCAA tournament. Against UCLA in 37 minutes, Bam had 2 points. And in the Elite Eight against North Carolina in 34 minutes, Bam shot 4 of 10 from the field. That's not exactly a first-round draft pick. Then again, Scalabissiere wasn't exactly playing like a first-round draft pick at the end of the year either. And he's actually playing pretty well in the NBA right now at Sacramento. Go figure. We bottom line it all the time. If a kid is going to be drafted in the first round, you should always go to the NBA. If not, it's a mistake to go. For my money, there's no way Bam comes back to UK next year. Although some people around here are starting to whisper that he might. I'll believe that when I see it. Other college basketball. University of Maryland president Wallace Lowe says that North Carolina should get the death penalty for their academic fraud and says it's abysmal what they've done to these student athletes. This is not like some podunk school. This is Maryland, a former member of the ACC with North Carolina, now in the Big Ten. Look, I remember when SMU, my favorite college football team of the early 80s, mainly because they cheated, I saw what happened to SMU after the death penalty. They're still not over it. And it's been 30 years. Putting the death penalty on North Carolina sports, especially the basketball program, it's not going to bother them. By the way, this investigation over all this has been going on for 7 years. So you tell me what's going to happen. There's no death penalty coming. But it's tough to ignore an opinion from a university president like Wallace Lowe at Maryland. Hey, we root for stories. We don't root for teams unless we pick them to win that night. But I think it would be hysterical to see North Carolina put on the death penalty. What's old Roy gonna do then? Go out and play golf all season? No way on God's green earth that any school is gonna be put on the death penalty like SMU was back in the 80s. Especially a blue blood basketball program like North Carolina. Maybe it's wishful thinking on the part of Maryland. Maybe it's sour grapes for always getting cheated in the ACC tournament because they always had to play at Greensboro every year. And somehow they always got cheated. Then again, maybe he's spot on. I think it's a mixture of all that.
Macho Man Randy Savage, you're a cheater just like your old lady.
More college basketball. Steve Fisher, former national championship coach, retired yesterday from San Diego State, where he'd been there since 1999. God, it was almost 20 years he was there. 571 wins and 3 Final Fours. All of those Final Fours were at Michigan. And in reality, there's only one Final Four because two of them were vacated because of the Fab Five. Steve Fisher was the coach of the Fab Five. Steve Fisher is a very interesting story. He had three phases of his career. The first one happened in about 3 weeks. In 1989, there was a guy named Bill Frieder who was the coach at Michigan. And right before the tournament started, Frieder comes out and says, "Hey, I'm leaving to go to Arizona State." First of all, other than the weather, why would you leave Michigan to go to Arizona State? There's absolutely no reason. Well, money probably was the reason. But then again, Bill Frieder was sitting on a team with 6 NBA players on it. He goes, "I'm going to Arizona at the end of this season. Now, I'm going to coach this team into the tournament, but when we lose, I'm leaving." And then Bo Schembechler, who was the athletic director at the time, who was about as bitter of a man as you'll ever find, came out and said, "Uh-uh." And he uttered the infamous phrase, "A Michigan man will coach Michigan." So Frieder was out immediately, and Steve Fisher, the assistant, was to be the head coach. And of course, we all know what happens. Steve Fisher wins 6 games in a row and wins the national championship on a phantom call in overtime against Seton Hall, in which Ramil Robinson was not fouled, but the referees gave it to Michigan because they're a big Power 5 school and Seton Hall is just Seton Hall. So, Steve Fisher signs a big contract after the national championship, and all of a sudden, Michigan loses all those players. They had Ramil Robinson, they had Glenn Rice. All those guys leave. Now, Michigan's starting to lose. They lose for a couple years. Fisher starts to realize, "Hey, we better win soon or else my butt is going to be on the streets." So what's he do? He goes out and gets the Fab Five. Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose, Jimmy King, Ray Jackson. All 5 guys, the top recruits in America. Best recruiting class in the history of college basketball up to that point. And they start winning again. They get to the national championship game in their freshman year and lose to Duke. And then they get to the national championship game in their sophomore year. And the infamous Chris Webber timeout ruined that one. And speaking of documentaries, if you ever watched that Fab Five documentary, Fisher did tell his team in the huddle that they had no timeouts left. But Chris Webber called one anyway, apparently, after one guy on the bench was yelling and motioning to call timeout, and it was all over for Michigan basketball at that point. So what do you remember Steve Fisher more for? His time at San Diego State? Nah, it's San Diego State. I don't care how lousy they were before he got there and how great he made them. Heck, Kawhi Leonard went to San Diego State. I'll always remember Fisher for the Fab Five because they're more iconic. The 89 championship run was great, but it was 3 weeks. So Steve Fisher, coach of the Fab Five, they say he has 571 wins and 3 Final Fours. I don't know how many that the NCAA recognizes because they vacated so many of those wins back in the 90s, but Steve Fisher retires, finally. He claims to have run a clean program, but the NCAA says not so fast.
Michigan have to bring it.
Oh, he walked! He walked and the referee missed it.
Weber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he causes too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't have any.
He got by with a walk, and he calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and the ball. A huge mental mistake.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Hey, break up the Cincinnati Reds. Another win last night. They're now 5-2 on the season. Brian Price gets the early award for managerial move of the year. Brandon Finnegan, who threw 7 shutout innings last week, in 2 innings last night, gave up 4 hits and 5 walks. And with the bases loaded in the 3rd inning, he brings in Michael Lorenzen, who usually pitches the 7th inning, pitches the 8th inning, sometimes even pitches the 9th inning. And Brian Price says, we're going to use you like Andrew Miller of the Indians. We're going to put you into the 3rd inning, high leverage situation. What happens? Lorenzen gets out of that jam, and then he, Cody Reed, and Jose Peralta go on to retire the next 21 batters in a row, which is the first time that's happened in Major League Baseball since before 1900. So a record-setting night indeed for the Reds. And their bullpen, which was statistically last year the worst bullpen in the history of Major League Baseball. So in a matchup of 2 teams with managers who in Las Vegas were the co-favorites to be the first ones fired this season, Brian Price trying desperately to hold on to his job. And it helps that he has a bullpen that's much better than it was last year. I don't think anyone in Reds country is longing for the days of Alfredo Simon, Jumbo Diaz, and the Moobs man himself, J.J. Hoover. Star of the game for the Reds, Billy Hamilton, a guy we pegged as a fantasy breakout star this year. He's going to steal bases. We all know he's going to do that. But you can see at the end of the last year, and you can see by the numbers, he learned how to walk finally. I guess 3 or 4 years of watching Joey Votto finally rubbed off on him. But now he's hitting. He's hitting .346. On base percentage .357. If he gets on at a .357 clip this year, he's going to steal 70 plus bases. And although Hamilton has stolen over 50 bases each of the last 3 years, injuries and a horrible on base percentage have kept him from leading the league in stolen bases. This year, we think that changes and he does lead the majors in steals, especially if he can get on base at a .357 clip. Eugenio Suarez and Scooter Gennett, their second home runs of the season last night. They will play again tonight. Rookie Davis, that's a very misleading name, ERA of 12 for the Reds. Jameson Taillon, ERA of 0 for the Pirates. Taillon threw 7 innings of shutout baseball last week, so the Pirates will be a big favorite tonight. They're minus -185 out in the desert. The Reds plus +175. Just like we said yesterday, you're getting a lot of value with the Reds in this one, but it's tough to go against the Pirates at home, especially tonight when they have the much better pitching prospect.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. So what's the problem?
I don't know.
Other baseball news. Pete Rose will be going into the Philadelphia Phillies Hall of Fame this summer, just like he went into the Reds Hall of Fame last year. Why do you think the Phillies are doing this? He only played for the Phillies 5 years. His average with the Phillies was .291 with only 8 home runs in those 5 seasons. And the true test and the true watermark, OPS Plus, in which the average player has a 100 value, Pete's value in those 5 years was 101. So he was an extremely mediocre player with the Phillies. And he's going into their Hall of Fame. By the way, in Pete's last year with the Phillies, 1983, he hit .245 with no home runs and 43 RBIs. He was done. But he's going to the Phillies Hall of Fame. You know what I see this as? I see this as the Phillies know that they stink. They've stunk for a couple years now, and they're going to stink this year too. So they're looking for a weekend where they can maybe up the attendance a little bit. Let's put Pete in our Hall of Fame. We might pack the house that night, just like the Reds did last year when they knew they were going to stink, so they had Pete Rose weekend. Wow, a team that has no chance of making the playoff, inducting a very controversial figure into their Hall of Fame. I'm shocked.
I'm going to punch you in the next week, buddy.
Why don't you punch me in the Wednesday? That's payday.
More baseball. Last night, the Cubs raised the banner, the first banner they've earned in 108 years. Ironically, they did it during a long rain delay, during which fans were able to watch their former catcher from last year, David Ross, perform on Dancing with the Stars. This would never have happened 10 years ago, much less 50 years ago. And of course, in true Cubs fashion, Anthony Rizzo gets the game-winning hit off Dodgers closer Kenley Jansen, and the Cubs go home victors yet again. It's not the same old sorry-ass Cubs now. Yesterday afternoon, the Yankees were playing a businessman special against Tampa Bay, and Michael Pineda, the Yankees pitcher, had a perfect game through six innings. So what happens? Martha Stewart, of all people, Miss Inside Information herself, goes out and tweets that Michael Pineda has a perfect game. What happens immediately after that? Of course, perfect game over. So Yankee fans completely blaming Martha Stewart, of all people, for ruining Michael Pineda's perfect game opportunity yesterday. Obviously, people who don't understand jinxes never get it. Speaking of the Yankees, Gary Sanchez, their hotshot rookie catcher, who is probably going to lead the league in home runs from the catcher position this year, the Yankees announced he would be out for the next 4 weeks. We are going to tell you right now it's going to be longer. That injury is going to last a lot more than 4 weeks. Closer to eight, if you ask us. And we have a little bit of a health background, so we're just saying. Gary Sanchez, if you're in a one-year league, dump him. Will Myers of the Padres hit for the cycle last night. That's the good news. The bad news, it was in Colorado, so it really doesn't count now, does it? The Boston Red Sox have lost several games from starting players this year because they've all had the flu in the first week of the season, including Mookie Betts, who missed 4 games. Hanley Ramirez has missed time. Some other top players have missed a game or two, but that's going to end because the Red Sox have fumigated their clubhouse at Fenway Park. There you go. Fumigate a 100-plus-year-old stadium. I'm sure that'll get the stench out of there. If you saw the highlights last night of baseball, you saw that San Francisco and Arizona had a play in which there was a ground ball that resulted in 3 runs for one team. Kind of reminds me of my first Little League home run, which was a ground ball to second base. 3 errors later, I had a home run. Jose Reyes is the third baseman for the New York Mets, and he started out horribly this year. The former National League batting champion has 1 hit in his first 27 at-bats. That's an 0.37 batting average. Boy, if you've got him in fantasy, you're already screwed. And it's gotten so bad that his manager, Terry Collins, said that there's a missing person and he's already called the FBI to start looking for him. Not exactly the best joke to make, Terry Collins, reeking of generational delusion. The NBA. There's a new book coming out by Marcus Thompson called The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, detailing how big-time NBA players like Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, and of course, LeBron James all hate Steph Curry because of the way he plays, because none of those guys can play like him, the style that he plays, and be that successful. I get it. I remember reading when LeBron James, when Steph Curry was in college at Davidson, LeBron would go to Steph Curry games because he admired how Steph Curry plays. But see, the thing is, LeBron never thought that he would have to compete with Steph Curry for MVP awards. He just thought it was a cute little story and a cute little kid who could really shoot the lights out. It's one thing to like your little brother when you know you're better than your little brother. But when your little brother starts to compete and defeat you, that's when things change. And that's why LeBron and his boys have turned on Steph Curry.
My all-time favorite sports one-liners are Down Goes Frazier, Do You Believe in Miracles, and Wrong Hole, Kobe.
Do you know a kid who needs an agent? Would you like someone to lead your child into the world of professional sports? Well, look no further than LeVar Ball and his new sports agency that he's starting. Now, his first 3 clients are, of course, going to be his 3 kids. But I mean, who else better can you think of today to represent your child potentially going pro than LeVar Ball, agent of the stars, more like agent of chaos. DeMarcus Cousins actually spoke out about LeVar Ball yesterday, saying he didn't know who Lonzo Ball was, who's going to go either first or second in the draft, but he said LeVar Ball, the father, was an absolute legend. Really? Before all this stuff happened, I had never heard of LeVar Ball. Neither had Cousins, and neither had anybody else. That's just boogie big boogie.
No, what a nice teardrop.
From 2 feet out,
the iron unkind.
Oh, he bounces it off his left toe.
He's a high riser, pure.
Oh, he's dialed up like a modem.
Oh, if you're watching the Dallas Mavericks tonight, get ready for a show. Tony Romo will be dressed out in full Mavericks gear and sitting on the bench. My thing is, okay, he was quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for a decade. Big whoop. Why is he dressing for an NBA game? To get a few more fans in the seats to a lousy team like the Mavs? What's he going to do? Are they going to play sweet Georgia Brown and he's going to go out there and dribble like Curly Neal? Or are they going to have some fat, goofy referee and Tony Romo is going to throw the confetti on him, thinking it's a bucket of water? Yeah, I saw this stuff with the Harlem Globetrotters 30-something years ago. I don't need to see it again from Tony Romo. Unbelievable. NFL, all eyes of the NFL draft coming up. Ron Jaworski, the ESPN analyst, using that term very loosely, who once said that Colin Kaepernick would become the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. Yes, he said that. Go YouTube it. Says that no quarterback should go in the first round this year. I'm going to disagree with him just a little. I think Deshaun Watson is probably worthy of a first round pick, but I don't think these other clowns are. Then again, every time I've listened to Jaworski, he's always steered me in the wrong direction. Heck, they all should go in the first round. But I'm sorry, I'm not on board with this Mitch Trubisky and whoever else is going in the first round. Not on board. Especially a team like the Browns with the number one pick. They need people. Like Myles Garrett, who's allegedly going to be the number one pick. But yesterday, he was supposed to appear on ESPN Radio, and he canceled at the last minute because Booger McFarland, who just happened to say a few bad things about Myles Garrett, was one of the co-hosts on the show that he was supposed to call into. Wow, bitter to the end. Myles Garrett already trying to get into that category. Talk about a soft skin. Speaking of Colin Kaepernick and Ron Jaworski, Colin Kaepernick still not on an NFL team yet, and we're nearing the draft. Conspiracy? No. Teams just don't like distraction from quarterbacks who just don't seem to have it anymore. Then again, you can take that for whatever it is. Distraction is often code for something else. And I think we all know what that is.
If I gave you a dollar, you could keep most of the change. Because all I really want is a quarterback.
By the way, if you're a fantasy football player, there will be at least 1 week this year where you have to get up before 9:30 in the morning to set your teams. Because one of those London games involving the Dolphins this year is going to start at 9:30. Those games are terrible to start at 9:30 in the morning. What if you're in Las Vegas? What if you're out on the West Coast and these games start at 9:30? That's 6:30 out there. Nobody in Vegas gets up at 6:30 in the morning. And if you are up at 6:30 in the morning, it's because A, you've been up all night, or B, you're dragging your happy butt to the airport because you've got a red eye and you're just barely going to make it on time.
T-Dog chill, UNITY.
Speaking of the draft, Mel Kiper Jr. will be the ESPN analyst for this year's draft for the seemingly 1,000th year in a row. And there was a website that went over all of his great claims over the years. And some of them were that Andre Wadsworth in the 1998 draft was the number one overall prospect ahead of Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson, two certain Hall of Famers. He once said that Ryan Leaf's attitude will be an asset in the NFL. Boy, that was wrong. He said Kajana Carter would be the next Bo Jackson. In 1991, he had Dan McGuire as a better prospect as Brett Favre. In 2001, he had LaDainian Tomlinson as the 25th best overall prospect in the draft. That didn't happen. There's a Hall of Famer he missed on. He said Andre Ware would be an excellent quarterback in the NFL. He said Johnny Manziel would be the number one overall pick. He said a guy named Rick Stanzi. Do you remember Rick Stanzi from Iowa? Yeah, I don't remember him either. But in 2011, Mel Kiper said he would be a better pro quarterback than both Andy Dalton and Cam Newton. Uh-huh. He said Jamarcus Russell would be the next John Elway. He said Detroit Lions draft pick wide receiver Mike Williams would be a Hall of Famer. And the coup de grace, in 2010, Kiper said that Jimmy Clausen, who went to Notre Dame, would be a success in the NFL. And if he wasn't, that Kiper would retire in 8 years. Well, it's been 7, Kiper. The clock is ticking. And there's videos on YouTube that people won't let you forget. So I hope you have your retirement papers set for next year. But all this proves is that all this draft day mumbo jumbo, what's your 40 time, how many reps of the bench press can you do, it's all one big fat coin flip. Can you pick the right guys or not? Bill Belichick of the Patriots has had terrible drafts. They've all had terrible drafts at one point or another. When you talk about the phrase inexact science, that totally refers to the NFL draft. But hey, now you could bet on it in Las Vegas this year. So it's on the up and up, right? Bottom line, Mel Kiper, draft expert? More like Mel Kiper throwing darts and hoping for the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time, accompanied by his executive consultant, Mr. Perfect, the new World Wrestling Federation champion, Ric Flair.
We reported yesterday Ric Flair was kicked out of a bar in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now we have audio and video detailing what he said. And some of the phrases I will use that he used against his bartender was that he called him a fat ass. I'm quoting, ladies and gentlemen. He told him to lose weight and don't give me shit. Again, I'm quoting, ladies and gentlemen. He also said, I'll have you out of a job. But then he said the phrase that every old man and every person who's been somewhere and is a little bit down on their luck now, they use this phrase and it never works. Don't you know who I am? Anytime I hear someone come up to me, or anytime I've ever heard someone use the don't you know who I am card, it never works out for your benefit, ever. No matter who you are in this world, if you walk around and somebody doesn't know who you are, you don't tell them, you don't ask them, don't you know who I am. It never works out. Ric Flair in the 80s, as good as it got. My shoes cost more than your house. Styling and profiling. Come take a ride on Space Mountain. I got it. But that was the 80s. That was a different time and a different place. And if you're still trying to use those phrases and terms today, people will look at you like you're crazy. But Ric Flair, who's literally going to do anything for a dollar these days, is still trying to live that gimmick. And God bless him for doing it. The best wrestler of all time, along with the Macho Man, we can't forget him. Rest in peace.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, Mac Daddy Stogie time. We hit yesterday with the big underdog Padres over the Rockies in Colorado. Tonight, we'll go to Cleveland, where the Indians are a big minus 270 over the poor little Chicago White Sox. And why wouldn't you go with Cleveland? Carlos Carrasco throwing for the Indians, 3.18 ERA this year. Last year, he had a 3.31 ERA, more strikeouts than innings pitched in each of the last 3 years. So this is a power pitcher. And it's the Indians' first home game of the season coming off their American League Championship year of last year. But Cleveland's coming home from a road trip in which in their last 3 games against Arizona, they gave up a combined 21 runs. This is Arizona of 2017. This is not the 1927 New York Yankees. Bottom line favorite, Edward Encarnacion, once traded for Scott Rowland by the Reds, go figure, has not had a good start. And Andrew Miller, last year's playoff superstar, can't be used in high leverage situations if the Indians are losing all the time. While the poor little White Sox, James Shields, 1.69 ERA. The White Sox are 2-3 on the season. James Shields has bounced around the last couple of years. Last year was terrible. ERA 5.84 in 182 innings. But bottom line favorite, shortstop Tim Anderson of the White Sox can run. And I'm sorry, we look for value in these games. Cleveland has a 3-game losing streak. And as Bull Durham said, don't mess with the streak. You want to go with teams that have won 3 in a row or more. You want to go against teams that have lost 3 games in a row or more. So while James Shields looked bad last year, he started the year pretty well this year. In fact, he started better than his counterpart tonight, Carrasco. So are we getting the better team tonight? Maybe not. But we're getting the better pitcher in a team that might be a little bit unfocused coming home with their first home game and listening to all the fans cheer them. Often a time when a team is ripe for the upset. So we'll take the White Sox tonight, plus 240, huge dogs, against the Indians as David Robertson comes in to close it out for the White Sox in the ninth, and you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
Everybody in the world bets. I can't tell you how many normal people, from a mother or two
to an uncle or a sports fan that's, whether they're betting $100 or $50 or $500, enjoy having a little action on the game that's on TV. It gives you a reason to live. I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you must be living in a cave.
And that does it for the Tuesday, April 11th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And follow us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.